I was listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Oh, I can't stay mad at you.
Aww.
I was listening to CJLO too.
For CJLO News, I'm Donald Roberge. Montreal Mayor Valérie Plante has announced that the city will be investing over $1.8 billion to reinvigorate its downtown core. Both the pandemic and loss of office workers choosing to do business from home has left the area with a struggling retail sector. Included in the investment is the creation of new living spaces and green spaces, as well as improved cleanliness. Plante also said that special emphasis would be placed on the identity of certain sectors like the Latin Quarter and Chinatown. The mayor indicated that Montreal's difficulties are not unlike many international cities whose downtown cores have struggled to reattract people after the pandemic. The city of Longueuil has announced that they do not have any intention of removing camps created by houseless people. As part of a press conference introducing a strategy addressing the city's itinerant issue, Mayor Catherine Fournier said that only camps that presented a safety issue would be dismantled. The city's action plan includes an $835,000 investment, as well as an inventory of vacant land and a camp management plan. The city will also set up an intervention project in its libraries and easier access to storage. Currently, Longueuil has between 200 and 1,000 houseless people in its municipality and approximately 12 camps. A spike in COVID, influenza, and RSV cases has created crowding in many of Montreal's emergency rooms. Katie Brady has more.
While union negotiations continue for nurses, winter cold and flu season continues to batter Montreal's ERs. Many are still nearing or over 200% capacity this week, and many hospitals across Canada are facing similar crises. Aaron Derfel is the health columnist at the Montreal Gazette. He said the state of our network results in patients, particularly elderly patients, being left on stretchers for days on end. With nowhere to be discharged to, he says ERs have become a place for the elderly to go to die.
It's actually a real shame that this is happening. I would even go so far as to describe it as scandalous. And this was a crisis that was years in the making. I believe our public healthcare system has been underfunded. We don't have enough doctors and nurses, and our population is aging. We could foresee that this would happen, and then the pandemic hit, and it just made matters far worse.
Derfel stressed that the dire lack of medical staff in Quebec, especially family doctors, only compounds the problem. Meanwhile, the nurses' union continues to negotiate their contract with the province. This month, Health Minister Christian Dubé had to walk back comments he made urging the public to self-diagnose and avoid ERs. He maintains that the CAQ's new sweeping healthcare reform bill will address the problem.
The thing of changes that I think will make a big difference for the patients.
For more with health columnist Aaron Derfel, tune in Friday morning at 9 a.m. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
For more, visit CJLO 1690 AM podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the Comfy Cabaret. I'm Cameron Lorenzo and I am here today with The Origin. Could you guys introduce yourselves for the audience?
Yeah, sure. My name's Tom Hayward. I'm in Victoria, B.C.
Curtis Duggan, also a member of The Origin, also in Victoria, BC.
Okay, and how did you guys meet and start making music?
Well, we met in grade one in Victoria. That's technically how we met. And then, you know, several years went by, though, before we became friends. And pretty early on, around a shared love of music, not right away, maybe like we were kids that knew each other for a lot of years before that. But then I guess, I don't know, I can't remember if... Tom, if you got to get an electric guitar first, or I did, or something around that time, you know.
You did.
Yeah, I got an electric guitar from I think it was from Tempo Trend, which is like not one of the bigger chains of music stores in Victoria. It's like more of a, I think it's still there, but it was just like, you know, I took piano lessons and I understood music from piano lessons. And, you know, maybe like age 12, I started playing Let It Be on the piano and thinking like, I wonder, like I didn't have sheet music for it. I wonder if I could just listen and play those chords at the same time, kind of getting into like Blink 182 and hear, you know, the first few singles from Enema of the State, thinking like, this pop punk is amazing. I just want to learn how to play those power chords. But the acoustic guitar, it doesn't seem to do that. And then, oh, I guess I need an electric guitar and I need to turn the distortion up. And so, you know, one Christmas when I was 11 or 12 or 13, I got that guitar, and then, you know, it evolved from there. That's you know, the very beginning of the story. There's more to it, but that's sort of how I got into it and started, you know, swapping music ideas with Tom early on.
So the first song we're going to hear is I Pour Myself Out. Do you guys want to talk about that one briefly?
Yeah, sure. I wrote this one, and this is actually, so we were a band in the 2000s when we were closer to teenagers and very early 20s. And then, so we played live shows in that era for a little while. And then, we went on with our careers, broke up, went our separate ways. We were like a 4 or 5 piece band back then. So many years went by, and then in 2020, the pandemic happened in March 2020, and we, you know, we'd both had little projects over the years, but we really had not made music in a long time. And so spring, summer 2020, we started talking about it again. And actually, the melody for I Pour Myself Out was one of the first things I ever did when we started thinking about making, reuniting and making music together again. And so it became a pop song that we released last year, but it started out a little bit more like a 90s alternative rock song. And I think like when I first wrote it in 2020, I wasn't good enough at it arranging yet again, like with that muscle to make it what it was. So it kind of sat on the shelf for 3 years. And then we were able to arrange it and release it in on our latest single, The Body Copy.
I fill myself up, I pour myself out. I need you like a flood when I'm feeling like a drought.
Sad. satisfied when I am unsatisfied. I'm only truly at peace when I am waging total war. But now the current year is not like the last year. We'll do our patriotic duty watching TV at home. It's our fault. Said that the war would go on after all. Everything that could went wrong. They said sincerely that we'd have this wrapped up by fall. Everything that could went wrong. And it was all a con. Yeah, it was all a con. Yeah, it was all a con.
Yeah, sure. Everything that could have went wrong was a pandemic song. So it actually, we released a single, one of Tom's songs, and then we decided to expand from that project into our first EP, Make Up Your Mind. And everything that could went wrong definitely comes from my love of the Strokes and from Blink-182 and very high tempo, catchy songs. And it really was just like probably the second or third song that I wrote after we got back together, just about... vaguely about stuff that was going on then, but not literally about it.
Okay, you've been talking about this a little bit already, but do you want to just talk about your songwriting process? Is that something that kind of happens separately, or do you guys get in a room and kind of do that together?
Let's say most of the time it happens separately, just by virtue of the fact that we both have busy lives too, and we don't always have time to get together. I think we both have slightly different processes where... my process is usually I'll have a hook or like a lyric that fits with a melody that sometimes I just stumble across when I'm playing around. And then I'll realize that, okay, this is something that has some potential. And then I'll develop a song around that. And that's generally my process. And I build the song that way. I don't know, Curtis has a slightly different process for his songwriting. If you want to talk about that, Kurt.
Yeah, I would say that I've kind of got two parallel tracks going, which is like my feelings and lyrical ideas and things I'm thinking about life that could be the topic of songs. But then also in parallel, I've just got more of like an engineering thing of I'm going to sit at a piano and play melodies on a right hand and chords on a left hand and just have melodies going. And those experiments with trying to make melodies eventually turns into maybe three or four melodies that I'm just really into. I would like to turn this melody into a song. And so I'll often pair them together. Like, okay, this melody's ready for a song. What are some of these feelings and lyrics from the feelings bag that I can put with it? But often I'll start making a melody without being like, this is about a breakup or this is about nostalgia. I will just kind of have no emotions and or just kind of be neutral emotionally while I'm writing the melody and then pair it up later. But, you know, that's 80% of the time. But there's a few songs where it's happened differently. Like I started with the lyrics or started with a chord progression and no melody. But it's usually a melody.
Cool. Starts with the melody.
There's a bit of a thing, awesome. There's a bit of a thing where, like, I think if Curtis is quite a good piano player, so he can accompany himself with two hands, whereas I'm like, I mean, I can hack away to piano, but I can't play it very well. So I'm usually on an acoustic guitar. So it's usually I'm kind of trying to sing things that fit with whatever it is that I'm playing. And like having had written songs for like 20 years now, like we both released a lot of songs over the years, written a lot of songs, but there's definitely like Curtis said, like a bag of songs or like little ideas that I've had stored away in my mind, and Curtis too, for 20 years. And sometimes I'm like, okay, this is a good time to bring that out and actually release it. And it feels right this time. So sometimes you're noodling around and you think, okay, this can fit with this idea that I had 15 years ago. And then it's working that way too.
Presented by SiriusXM, Quebec City's craziest alt festival, The Fuck Off, is back for its 10th consecutive year. From February 9th to the 17th, Quebec City will come alive with shows and showcases featuring emerging music of all genres. Get your ticket and come discover amazing artists like Teke Teke, Get the Shot, Solipsism, C'est Nicole, Population 2, Totalement Sublime, Virginie B, and more. The Fuck Off is the festival that heats up your February. Visit phoqueoff.com for more information.
Hey, are you looking for an alternative to FM radio playlists? Then tune in to the World Beat News radio program right here on CJLO 1690 AM every Tuesday from noon to 1 p.m. to hear brand new World Beat music from mainly Canadian artists. Call or text at 848-7471. You are listening
to. So next up, we have Up the Coast. Do you guys want to chat about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think this is one, honestly, that Tom encouraged me to write, and it's maybe the most uncharacteristic song I've ever written of the way that I write songs. It's very heavily, there is a nice little tune to it, but it's very heavily driven by the story in, I don't know what you'd call it, like a Bob Dylan type of thing, of like, it's really about the story. I don't really care if you're humming along, you might, but that's not the point. Yeah. And it's a kind of a, you know, magical realist horror noir story, a horror film in 5 minutes or whatever, with kind of a twist ending. So I wouldn't say there's any other songs like that I wrote. So it's definitely the strangest one, not necessarily the strangest song musically I've ever written, but it's strangest for me I've written to this kind of song. It kind of came from an alien place of me, out of me.
There are some really strange musical ones that we
yeah. not yeah. It's not the strangest yeah. musical. It's pretty straightforward little folk song, but weird lyrics. Weird story.
Nobody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Not even us.
Up the island, up the coast, up the twisted road. Five of them went out to sea and one came back alone. The suspect is a male, age 29. Victims are about the same. The evidence is bleak, but gentlemen, take your seats. This one ain't no game. Eric was the one who lived, haunted in his eyes. He told us what he thought he knew. He's brilliant if he lies. They bought a van at City Hall, drove it up the coast, looking for an island trip, a lump inside their throat. Listed properties, thought that it could heal them.
At the doorway, I can hear his desperate cries that there's evil I'm scared. I've got a crystal ball and a lock of her hair.
Something's coming.
I've got an ancient book full of prayers.
Something's coming down the stairs. Something's coming.
I can't tell you how, but I know that it's there.
So we just heard The Ghost here on the Comfy Cabaret on CGLO 1690. Can you guys talk about that one for us?
The Ghost was part of a concept album that we did. It was our third release since we got back together. And the concept of the album was about two Victorian poets. So I studied English Lit at UVic, and I was interested in couple of the literary figures. So the ghost is one song on that album, but The Ghost is about thinking that you live in a haunted house, but really you are the ghost that haunts your own house. That's that one's about.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So moving along to your recording process, is that something that often happens kind of as you're, I mean, as you said, you probably write, do you arrange and kind of record at the same time, or is it kind of done in pieces?
I would say it's done in, it sort of has to be done in pieces. Like my studio at home is something that I generally have to like take apart after I use it,
right?
That room is used for other things. So often that comes afterwards, and building up a song from the sort of the foundations. And then what we'll often do, because it's just the two of us, one of us will play, we'll record everything that we can together. And then often we'll send the song to a drummer remotely.
Okay, cool.
Who will record the drums and then send us the files back, and we'll mix them back in.
That's awesome. So you record mostly in your home studio, and then do you send it off to like a mixing engineer or mastering, or what's the process for that?
I think we do a bit of both. Yeah. We've sent songs to several different mixers, and we've also mixed our own. I would say like one of the strange things I probably wouldn't do if it was like the four people in the band or in the studio or even the home studio. Mm-hmm. You might lay down a lot of tracks quickly. Hey, everybody, we'll set up the mics. Let's lay down tracks. We don't really have that. We don't have four people in the same room. Right. So one thing that I probably wouldn't do if like it was more traditional, but because it's remote, is like I'll arrange a whole song in MIDI, like every note, including guitars. Maybe I'll have something where like a MIDI can't do this and I'll do the guitar later, but there'll be like the Super Nintendo version of the song, playing it all the way through. And then start picking off things like, okay, swap that MIDI in for something. And there's pros and cons, and sometimes it's not ideal, but I think just the fact that it's not, like, we're not in a space with four people playing live for a lot of the recordings makes me do that. And then sometimes we'll send it to a mixer or masterer, but just wanted to, like, that's a weird part of it, I would say, to point out in the arranging process.
Yeah, I forgot to add that, but I do the exact same thing. It depends sometimes on the song. If it's an acoustic guitar-driven song, sometimes I'll just do the acoustic guitar, and then if there's going to be synths or things that I can't play quickly, then I'll map those out in MIDI and then kind of go from there. But yeah, often there is a Super Nintendo version that you that you replace later with that.
I think and Tom's better at guitar, so I think sometimes like I will have to write the guitar part in MIDI, then learn how to play it, then play it on the track, and it goes in that order.
And then immediately forget.
Yeah.
Cool. And so when you play live, do you just bring in other musicians to come play with you, or do you play live that often? I don't know.
Cameron, I have some bad news. we have barely, if at all, played live.
Me
played
too,
live yet.
Honestly, as well.
Like, we want to be in our band.
Yeah. What do you play?
I play guitar and I sing and songwrite mostly.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We already have two people like that. We need a drummer.
We'll chat offline. Yeah,
the cumbia might be difficult as well.
Just quickly answer that. We used to play together. We used to play live a lot, and we had, like Curtis said earlier, like a full band, 4 or 5 piece band. But since we've got back together, we haven't got that. So we have been looking for other members, and people have stepped in and stepped out. But I would say the plan or what we'd like to do is get into playing with other people soon this year and maybe start doing shows.
Awesome. I feel like Victoria has a pretty robust band scene. I used to live in Victoria, so like I feel like it has quite a robust band scene. There's always shows going on, so
totally. Yeah.
Yeah, so the next one that we are going to be playing is We Need a Song to Drive To. So I want to talk about that.
Yeah, I think that was the first one that we released properly after we started making music again. My goal with that song was, it's one of those songs that as I was writing it, I'm like, it's not really about anything specifically. And it was like intentionally ambiguous in meaning. But I think after having completed it and listening back and like thinking about it, it is about like a difficult conversation. Not a specific difficult conversation, but just the idea of having a hard chat with somebody. And then I always feel like you talk best in the car when you're both facing not looking at each other. So the idea there is like we need a song to drive to so we can go for a drive and have a difficult conversation.
Okay, that's really cool. So this is We Need a Song to Drive To on the Comfy Cabaret.
Taking it way too hard. Make up your mind. I've said it a number of times. So if you don't care to look, avert your eyes. This is the part of the book where the hero. Unsaid.
Yeah, so this is Battle Royale. That's what we just heard here on the Comfy Cabaret. What do you guys have to say about this song?
Yeah, I wrote this one, and I think sometimes it's like if you ask a comedian to explain the joke or you ask an artist to explain, they might say something like, oh, you know, well, I want to let the art speak for itself. I'm not going to do that. I'll try and explain exactly what it's about. Okay. The inspiration for this, sometimes the inspirations are vague, but for Battle Royale, I would say, generally, it's putting two feelings together. One is kind of being in the middle of a fling that's not quite not in a relationship in the traditional sense, mm-hmm. but more like just a fling. But I also lived in New York for about 3 years. And when you're in maybe a fight in a fling, or when you're just angry about something or something's upset you, there's something about like when you're in your hometown and you kind of like go to your car and start driving through your suburban neighborhood where you grew up and being upset about something that feels a certain way. But there's also something about like getting spit out into a city at 10 at night with all the lights of Manhattan, and you're angry about something and you kind of go for a walk, and it's kind of that's not literally a night that's happened to me exactly like that. Mm-hmm. It's a composition of maybe a various feelings. I didn't literally, you know, walk and then think Battle Royale and write the song in my head. But it's trying to capture some of that, like feeling angry, but you're not spit out in like sort of your hometown or sort of a comfortable place. You're in a place that feels like urban and imposing, and maybe a little bit exciting, I guess, is the dirty secret kind of the feeling.
Yeah, I've definitely felt that kind of feeling in Montreal on a smaller scale, but it's not home for me, so it's difficult if something goes wrong. Yeah. So you don't play live very often, so how do you go about promoting your music that you put up?
Well, probably don't do a very good job at that. I think a lot of people are just taking music now on streaming services, so sometimes it's like honestly, I've gone so far as to like search for Spotify playlists, find who is like who made that playlist, and then find them and message them and be like, hey, this song would fit on that playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I would say I have like a 0.5% percent like success rate doing that.
But more than zero, nothing. Yeah. So
totally. So there's a little bit of that, trying to get on some playlists, and there's some like independent radio around Vancouver Island that we've had some success with as well, like terrestrial radio, like CJLO, kind of equivalents that we've had our music featured on. So I guess that's one way. I don't know if Curtis, you have anything else to add to that.
No, I would just say it is tough to figure out how to like solve for like there's infinity music on Spotify. Like, please come look at infinity plus one more song.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But I would say I do see that it builds slowly over years. If there was a time where there were zero streams and then you're kind of discouraged, it gets to a point where, okay, there is an average of 2 streams a day. Oh, there is an average of 5 streams a day. And then we're kind of growing from there. And, you know, we're not at 100 or 1,000 streams and like someone listening to The Origin every minute of every day, 24/7 around the world. But there's a consistency that builds up even if we do nothing. That kind of, you can see building slowly. And there's probably more we could do if this were our full-time job.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a neat thing with the analytics though, where you can see like, oh, someone is playing me and like, I don't know, just some anywhere. Like we can be played all over the world now, which is kind of cool. So you wonder, or like Shazam, like you'll get a little report that someone Shazammed you in like Sweden and you're wondering what that person is doing that, listening to The Origin in Sweden, but
yeah, and if it's cool. Shazam, then it was being played over some speakers and the person brought it up. So
yeah,
that is true.
Yeah. It's not just a listen. It's someone in France going like, oh, c'est quoi, c'est une chanson, c'est très bien.
Yeah, of course.
Going and hitting Shazam and then someone cared enough to like want to learn more, not just passively listen.
Yeah. So next we have the Frontier song. How did that song come about? Who wrote that? What's the story?
I wrote that one. That one was on our, so we released this like debut kind of EP when we got back together, which is Make Up Your Mind. And it had 4 songs, including We Need a Song to Drive To and Everything That Could Have Went Wrong. And then after that, we're like, what do we do? And then the idea was like, well, we'll do a country album for some reason. So then we made this EP called Town and Country, which was also the name of like a bowling alley that was torn down in Victoria when we were kids. And there was like a Blockbuster and stuff in that plaza. So it was kind of this sort of nostalgic place for us.
And I just want to say, it's not like we did 4 EPs in a genre and then said, let's get a break and do a country EP. This was the second EP. It was like, we need to switch. We need to switch. We need to pivot. Yeah. Second EP, country.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the fact that most of the time artists are kind of put into one thing and then they have to do that. I like the idea that artists can just change their mind and go different places with different EPs. It's great.
Oh yeah. We change our mind. We decided to make a country album. So Frontier Song is one of my contributions to that album. And it's, I guess the general idea about that is the song is about a person who is a pioneer who's all by himself or herself and is set up in the middle of nowhere. And then they're basically going crazy because it's desolate. There's nobody around. And they're starting to kind of lose it. And then in the song, there's that big buildup of electric guitars at the end, which is sort of meant to mirror that descent, I guess.
Thank you. restless wish. I hang my hat on a 30-yard six. I don't trust myself with. I don't trust myself with.
Présenté par SiriusXM, le festival déjanté de musique alternative Le Fuck Off est de retour pour sa 10e année consécutive. Du 9 au 17 février, la ville de Québec sera animée par des spectacles et des vitrines de musique émergente de tous genres confondus. Procure-toi ton billet et viens découvrir des artistes éclatés comme Teke Teke, Catashot, Solipsisme, Saint-Nicole, Population 2, Totalement Sublime, Virginie B et plus encore. Le Fuck Off, c'est le festival qui réchauffe ton mois de février. Visit le phoqueoff.com pour plus d'informations.
Have you ever wanted to expand your musical palette and give electronic music a taste? If so, you'll love Rigged Sessions, hosted by me, Rigged Jason. As someone who listens to a large variety of electronic music, I believe that there is something for everyone. I play a lot of new music and previous by both stars and new artists to watch. And almost every week, I play a mix from myself or a guest mix. If you're ready to experience new electronic sounds, tune in to Rigged Sessions, airing on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 1 p.m.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
So, what do you have coming up? Do you have any music that you're working on right now? Any music that's coming, going to be released soon?
Yeah, we have an album that we hope to release in the spring. It's called Oubliette.
Awesome.
Which is what I learned is that is the name of a prison, a type of jail cell where people are put in, and then there's the door to the cell is on the ceiling, so it's kind of the worst type of jail cell to be in. Yeah. So That's what the album's called, and it's going to hopefully be out in the spring.
Next, we're going to be playing Catalunya.
Yeah, Catalunya, I would say, like, lyrically, it's pretty straightforward. It's about two people who come together and kind of meet up and have a good time near Barcelona in the Catalonian region of Spain. And Catalunya is Catalonia in Catalan, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. The local language. There's not much more to it than that. Maybe musically is more interesting to talk about. It's a little...
It's actually...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like two people, you know, like you sit down, you have some tapas, you have some paella, you have a good time, bada bing, bada boom, you know, like it's Barcelona. What more do you need? Musically, it is maybe also, like we said with, like I said with Up the Coast, like kind of out of character. It's a bit, I don't usually write sort of angelic songs, and it has a kind of peaceful, I don't know, it has a certain, pensive and angelic tone that is out of character, but it kind of just fit and really wrote the first part that has all of the chimey guitars, and then that was very straightforward, like writing a kind of a chords and a rock song in a normal structure, and then kind of got a bit weird and sort of in a frenzied motion created this kind of middle part that doesn't have a lot of form and switches between chords, and it's almost like waves are crashing, but I don't think they are. I think it's just the music.
Yeah.
And then it kind of comes back and does one more chorus. So that was all kind of like a little bit more loose, but the first part is more like very like, okay, it's going to be this chord, then this chord, then this chord specifically.
The signs were written in the